Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Wyatt Graves, and I'm your host of the Mint Tea Podcast. Welcome back to the show. Today's conversation is with Vlad Katz. Vlad is somebody that I've watched from afar and only had brief introductions to over the past couple of years at different classes or different group coaching calls, never having an opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation like we got to have today. It was a really, really great conversation. And with every conversation I have, I always try to learn something. Today was no different. And with Vlad and his track record and all of the experiences that he's been able to live in his life as a husband and a father and a business leader, today's conversation left me with a lot learned. I'll share a couple of short notes that I took during our call, and then we'll jump straight into our conversation. Today, we were talking about flexibility versus freedom in your job and your work. Vlad made a solid point that freedom and flexibility are not the same. He said, relative to this point, most people think that the path to freedom is through flexibility, and that's just not the case. He said, you have to earn your way to freedom through being disciplined and creating powerful habits that lead to freedom. And this is called a job where you put in the work. So take a listen and let me know your thoughts over in the public Facebook group for The Mint Tea. If you haven't joined that group, head on over to Facebook and look for The Mint Tea. Click join. We'll accept you. It's a public forum where you can talk about the notes and your thoughts and your takeaways in our episodes. I'd like to know if you have your freedom number identified and the pathway to achieve it. With that, let's head on over to the conversation that I had with Vlad Katz. I hope you enjoy. This is the Mint Tea Podcast. I'm your host, Wyatt Graves. And each week on our show, you will get to learn from world-class mentors who share behind-the-scenes strategies which will help you level up your life and your business. Jim Rohn said, "You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with." If you're interested in upgrading your five and living the good life, then this podcast is for you. Vlad, I am so glad to be able to connect with you today.
Thank you, man. You've been looking forward to this conversation. Thank you for all you do, and thanks for the opportunity to contribute.
Hey, I appreciate that. You know, we've never been able to have this kind of a conversation either. I have admired you and respected you from afar. I've been able to watch you from social media. I've been in certain classes where you were there and running around and talking to all the people that were in the class, and I never got to be one of those people. So I'm really honored to be able to dig a little deeper and have this one-on-one conversation with you today.
Brother, thank you for the opportunity. And thanks for your kind words.
For sure.
I know that our paths became kind of parallel for a few minutes and then crossed, intersected, and all of that stuff. And now, you know, just being in this conversation with you is really cool.
I agree, man. So I kind of have an agenda or some points or topics that I want to pick your brain about. And first, I want you to clarify, like, where are you? Who are you? Where have you been? Because I have this perception that you are a successful business leader and have led lots of people and experienced lots of success. And it's for that perception that I'm interested in having a conversation with you. So I need to kind of check my perception, right? I want you to prove it to me. Tell me, how successful have you been? What have you been doing? Where have you come from? Just give me all that information.
Glad to, Wyatt. And before I do that, man, I have to say that, you know, it's interesting that this word perception, right? Because your perception of my, you know, escapades, if you will, is very different than mine, right? So like you're looking at me as a successful, like you call me a successful business leader. And now I look at, like, most of the days I look at myself as like, man, I could have done so much more, or man, there's just so much more to do, right? So yeah, I'm going to put that kind of like that. Look, I think that, you know, I think that we can all relate to that type of a conversation that happens in our heads.
The funny thing about that, and I don't mean to cut you off, but what one of the phrases that I have learned in the last couple of years that I specifically want to talk to you about, which validates my perception of that, is that you're still showing up. You're still pounding the pavement. you haven't given up. Like in my mind, that is successful, you know, because we all have those thoughts in our head that tell us we should have done this, we could have done that, we could have performed better, we should perform better. And man, a lot of people give in to those thoughts. A lot of people just decide to take themselves out of the game and sit on the sideline, and you haven't. And so to me, that's why I want to have this conversation, because I have those thoughts too. And so the phrase that I was really thinking about this morning is one that I heard several years ago, and it's most people are unsuccessful because they are unwilling to endure the monotony of success. And that phrase I heard in 2016, I remember exactly where I was when I heard it, and it resonated with me because that's been my life. I have not done well with enduring the monotony of success. And you could say that part of that, at least to me, in relation to what you're saying, is that, you know, we called it drunk monkey that tells us, you know, you could have done better, you should have done more, you're not doing enough, you're not going fast enough, and you still show up and face that inner dialogue and try to beat it, you know?
Amen, brother. And look, with that definition, I can now see that I've been super successful because, you know, I keep getting up all the time. And it's funny you say that you use the term drunk monkey. My monkey is especially drunk when, you know, during the bad days. However, I got to tell you, man, the sober monkey is super sober, because even though there could be a bad day, I get up. And so, all right, so I'll dive into a little bit of my background. In the college, Wyatt, I wanted to save the world. I was one of those dreamers. And I'm like, man, the world could be like such a better place. So, and I was an econ business major, dabbled in a little bit of math. So I was like, all right, where can I go and start a career that's going to, in my opinion, make the biggest difference? And for me, for some reason, it was the U.S. government.
Wow.
So I became an international economist, did foreign labor relations right off the hill. In Washington, D.C., it was a lot of fun, met a lot of really, really cool people. But one of the things I realized working for the U.S. government is no matter how great the organization that I was a part of, the agency that I was a part of, no matter how great it was, is that before I could save the world, I had to change who I was. Like, that's where I was really clear that it was not about saving the world and changing the world. It was about changing who I was as a human being. So I left the U.S. government. I got into sales. There was graduate school in between. Got into sales. Then started a small tech company. We did software development, outsourcing, and engineering design. And it was a short stint. Then got out of that. And dude, you know, my dad always used to say God works in mysterious ways. And then around 2005, I got into real estate because a couple of buddies of mine were flipping houses on the west side of Baltimore. And I said, you know, I have a little bit of money. I'm fairly, you know, intelligent. Let me see if I can do it. And we started, you know, buying small properties, putting in some money and selling them. And back then, just like the market is right now, the properties were just flying off the market like that. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. And of course, market turn, I had my real estate license. And you know what? I like fell in love. Don't get me wrong. I like making money. But what I enjoy even more is helping other people make money. And when the market turned, a lot of people came to me and said, like, look, you stand out from a crowd based on your experience, education, help me acquire investment properties, or help me sell a property in this crappy market, or help me buy a property and make sure I get the best deal. So I actually fell in love with helping people achieve their financial goals through real estate. Okay, I worked with real estate investment funds. We acquired a bunch of properties. I invested on my own, started a short sale company, short sale processing company, and a short sale sales team. Then Keller Williams found me in 2011. By that point, I was doing probably about 100 transactions per year with a very, very small team and a short sale processing company. And there were two reasons I joined Keller Williams. Reason number one is I wanted to start a brokerage. Like, I realized that owning a brokerage was one of the ways to help even more people achieve their goals and also to increase my own income. And number two is because I picked up this, you know, copy of the Red Book, Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, like this is the way to turn my sales practice into a sales organization. Mm-hmm. So I gave myself 3 years to get to what we would call seventh level business, right? Per MREA.
Yep.
I did it in two, and then just happened to my team leader role in the market center that I helped launch, in the real estate office that I helped launch, opened up. And I raised my hand to become a team leader of that Keller Williams Legacy franchise. And that was a lot of fun, brother. In that role, I found what I call my heart to serve. So I took over that real estate office with about 59 agents. And in less than 3 years, we were at 400.
Wow.
We were number one in Baltimore City, number one in Baltimore County, in agent count, trends in volume, transactions. And by the time I exited that role, we were number one in the state of Maryland in terms of buyers and sellers helped. One tiny office out of a fairly crappy building in Pikesville, Maryland, housed over 400 associates. And the really cool part of it, Wyatt, is, you know, you're in a similar role right now. You probably appreciate it because of the level of conversation that you carry, is we had at one point 14 out of top 25 producers in our geography in our office. So Imagine the level of conversation that we had just in the hallways, where like $80 million producers talking to a $100 million producer is then teaching a class to a bunch of $10 million producers, so on and so forth. Then I replaced myself with a very talented individual. Her name is Tina Bellavo. She took over the market centers, took over being the general manager. By that point, we had three. And I went into expansion with the Five Doors Network. I became one of the principals and CEO. And that was an interesting, really interesting role, because I never looked at myself as a turnaround person. I always looked at myself as a kind of as a starter. Mm-hmm. And that was a unique opportunity to set the company on the right course. You know, the folks before me achieved really high levels of success, and the foundation of the company was not strong enough to sustain the next level of it. So I came in and about a year cleaned it up, increased profitability about 400%. We were doing about 100 transactions per month in 12 locations around the country. And then, you know, the hand of God, once again, God works in mysterious ways. A lot of things happened and didn't happen. And I left Keller Williams and joined eXp Realty at the beginning of 2020. And I'm in the process of partnering up with top real estate leaders and top real estate professionals all over the country in building what we call our Thrive Real Estate Network. And we're right now at about 300 associates in about a year that we've been operating, and some of the top people from around the country who've joined us as we're building this currently national community of top-minded real estate leaders who like really love learning and growing and working together.
That's awesome, man. I wrote several questions that I want to come back and revisit, but what an amazing story.
Yeah, man, this last 15 years has been a wild ride, Wyatt. If you told me 16 years ago that, you know, that I would be on this journey, I would have laughed.
I think we all would.
Right?
I think we all would.
I've chosen just to go with the flow. And, you know, one of the allures for me of being on your show is you make it all about the people that you surround yourself with.
No doubt. I run into that all the time. Literally exchanged a text message this morning with another associate who was talking about the growth of another associate in our office. And, you know, the reality is that their top five changed. You know, they got into a different group of people. And so the conversations were different. You cannot help but change and mold. It's just human nature to mold and to be shaped around the conversations that you put yourself into. And that's why I love this show, because it gets me connected with people like you that expose me to new ideas, new people, new relationships, and things I never would have thought of, you know? So I love it. And you're an example of that. Exactly. That's what I call successful. That's why I admire your work, because you have done so much and been able to pivot when you need to pivot and make tough decisions when you need to make tough decisions. And of course, I'm judging all that from afar, you know, and that's why I wanted to connect, to just go a little deeper in some of those things that you've encountered along the way.
Yes.
Hey, so one quick question just to teach me, how's your role different? Like what you're doing right now with the Thrive Network versus expansion in terms of teaching and helping people grow wealth and grow their business. Are you pretty much being able to do the same thing? That's your same role?
You know why? It's a really great observation, brother, because I don't think that my role has changed much at all. Now, I will have to say that, you know, when I was in expansion, I was, you know, in charge of operations. I was in charge of hiring and firing. So I was running a business. Today, what I do is probably closer to running a network than running a business. So how is that different? So I have no operational control over anybody's business. Okay. However, what I think that the reason I'm on this planet is to advise entrepreneurs as they reach their freedom goals. And so I am in a very unique position where that's all I do these days. So when you look at my partners, from Daniel Askew in Nashville, Tennessee, to Mark Anderson in Spokane, Washington, to Jim Black in Worcester, Massachusetts, David Hill, also in Central Mass. Like my conversations with them is really simple. It's like, how can I serve you as you are on your journey? Mm-hmm. And, you know, back in expansion, back in team leader role, that was probably about 20-25% of my job. Today, mm-hmm. It's 100.
Gotcha.
I don't want to say that's what I'm passionate about, because I think that in today's world, the term passion is being overused. I'm obsessed about it, man.
Yeah.
Like I reach out to people and I'm like, dude, like you haven't spoken to me in a month. Like, how can I serve? Like, what are the challenges that you're having?
Yeah.
How can you use my experience, my expertise, my failures to grow yourself?
Mm-hmm. I love it. What you said, you used the word freedom goals. Tell me what that is. What's the definition of a freedom goal?
I think that 99% of small businesses, okay, and I predominantly deal with real estate businesses, okay, the reason people get into them is for the F word. It's freedom. Now, yeah. Oftentimes, freedom gets collapsed with flexibility, another F word. Mm. What I teach people in my life is to uncollapse those. Flexibility is flexibility. Freedom is freedom. Okay. So real estate role or being a real estate agent has components of flexibility that, for example, being an accountant in an accounting firm does not. But freedom is very different than flexibility. The way I define freedom is ability to do anything with anyone at any time without any regard for financials.
I like it. I was just going to say it's similar to what I call the good life. We talk about the good life on the show. The good life, it's not going to be the good life if you have all the time in the world and no money to do it, to do what you need to do, right? If you had all the money in the world, no time to do what you wanted to do, still not the good life. And just recently, I've started to just be more intentional about including key relationships. And that's actually one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today was, you know, if you have all the time, money, and key relationships, then I would say that's your freedom, you know?
Amen to that.
What you want to do, who you want to do it with, whenever you want to do it. Love it.
That's it. So, you know, so my wife and I sat down, I don't know, a couple of years ago when we were talking about money, and we said, like, look, let's create some of these goals, right? And the way that we were approaching it back then was like kind of like, you know, with this really high level of significance, Wyatt. It's like we're writing the 11th commandment or something, and it's going to be etched in stone and like all of that, right? We gave all of that up and we said, okay, like if we had all the money in the world, if we had like everything that we wanted, like what would we be doing? And we created like this really short list of what we call freedom goals. For us, for example, one of them, and I'm living one of these out right now, is ability to live anywhere for 6 months at a time. So my wife and I really enjoy traveling and seeking experiences. And so like we said, like, how cool would it be to live in Dubai for 6 months? And then halfway through that trip, say, okay, we're going to San Diego for the next 6 months. And then halfway through that trip, say, we're going to go to Sicily for 6 months and just have the ability to pick up the phone, call somebody and have everything arranged. So that's one of ours. Another is being, you know, as simple as being totally debt-free. We have three girls, all under the age of 12. for them to be financially independent as well, meaning like no debt and set for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And we crunched all of that into numbers, and it came out to be like, you know, our, you turn the freedom goals into a freedom number. Mm-hmm. But that's what I work with.
Love that.
With my people. And then our freedom number came out to be just shy of about $1 million a year. And then I just rounded up to $1 million.
There you go.
Because the numbers are not written in stone.
Yeah. So yeah.
Does that help?
That's great. So I'd love to spend just a little bit of time with you going back, though, to teach me the difference. Like, spend some more time talking about flexibility, because so many people, that's going to be a big takeaway for me. We want to get into real estate. And really, let me expand my question a little bit, because what you've touched on, I recently read Cash Flow Quadrant.
Oh my God, I live by the book, man.
I'm 40 years old and have been in the real estate world for 20 plus years and just read that book within the last year. And when I tell you that book has changed my, man, I love it. It has just, I'm upset and I'm mad that I didn't read it years ago. You know, it just has blown my mind with the simplicity in which it helps explain financial freedom and having your money work for you versus you work for your money. And to me, that's the good life, right? Like, that's how you end up with, if we were going to create a formula, you got to have some kind of opportunity for your money or a business to make you money so that you can travel, as you just said, or have the time that you want to go do whatever you want to do, right? Because if you're stuck in a 9-to-5, with 1 week of vacation or 2 weeks of vacation every year, you ain't traveling to Sicily for 6 months or Dubai or South Carolina. It's just not happening. So you've got to have some flexibility built in. And the way that you do that is through being a business owner and or having the cash to invest. So I've been teaching that a lot to my people, and I love the idea and the opportunity that real estate sales creates, because it's a low barrier to entry, mm-hmm. right? 90 clock hours in Louisiana and pass a test. There is no ceiling in terms of what you can go out and earn. And with all of the options and brokerages and or teams or independents or whatever, there is a place that is in alignment, whatever you need to get started. You know, so it's just like the opportunity is endless. So it's all about this lifestyle. And I want to talk about that too, where you create some passive income or even business income that covers your expenses first. And then if you're in debt, then you pay down debt, and then you can start to acquire some savings that allow you to invest. So it's, you know, this kind of stacked approach, if you will. So I appreciate the freedom versus flexibility analogy. That was just really cool. So I know I just said a lot. If there's anything that you want to poke in or add to what I'm, I guess, saying from your perspective, especially relative to flexibility and yet enduring the monotony of success, flexibility and being disciplined to do the 20% of the tasks that lead to 80% of the results. Because we can get caught up, as you well know, being a leader of independent agents, that, hey, I signed up to be flexible, and that means that I don't have to show up every day and put in the time, right? So just, what do you have to say about all that?
Brother, there was just so much wisdom that you just shared with folks. It's you know, somebody who's brought in over 1,000 agents to various brokerage platforms. You know, I've been in literally thousands of conversations that have the F words in it. It's still mind boggling, right? That people think that the way to freedom is through flexibility. Mm. If we all know that freedom is earned, and in order to earn it and the level of freedom that you want, okay, you have to put in the hours. There are so many real estate professionals, and by the way, Wyatt, 100% agree with you, this is truly a limitless industry. And the reason it's limitless is because 100% of population need real estate services. The only question is when. Like, I know you have young kids. I have young kids. I joke that our children will have to be in somebody's CRM right now. Because sooner or later, they're going to require real estate services. And mine may require it sooner than later, and they are probably not going to use their dad. Right? It's truly a limitless industry. Yet, because of this flexibility phenomenon, people don't treat it as a job.
I agree.
There's this mindset of like, okay, now I own a business, which is great. You do in the eyes of the IRS. Everybody who has a real estate license, they technically own a business, whether it's LLC or sole proprietorship or anything in between or over that. But see, in order to run a successful business, you have to do your job day in and day out. And if you do your job, that's how you earn your freedom. So there is this pressure on flexibility, and people are excited by that. But typically, I don't know anybody who has freedom unless they, you know, married into it or inherited it, that did not earn it. And earning is day in, day out grind. Another thing that I would add to what you said is most people don't define their good life. Mm. They don't put a number on it. See, your version of good life may be different than my version of good life, but one thing that puts us in common, puts that in common in the context of business, okay, is a number. See, my was calculated and I rounded up to $1 million a year in passive income, okay? Yours may be 2 million. Yours may be 500,000. Somebody who is listening to the show, their idea may be $5,000 a month or 60 grand a year. But see, that number, even though those may be different, they unite us. And here's how they unite us. See, if my number is 1 million and your number is 1 million, we're on the same journey. Even though your good life could be saving dolphins in the Pacific Ocean and my good life is living in Sicily for 6 months at a time, we can have a really common conversation about how to achieve our versions of good life or our versions of freedom goals because we have the same number. Now, another way of looking at it is that if your number is 1 million and my number is 500,000, I can now use you as my mentor because you're on a slightly different journey. You're on a bigger journey and you can use me as a mentee. If you've already achieved your number and I'm on the path to achieving my number, you can now contribute to me and I can learn from you. So we often go through life, first of all, not even defining our good life. Okay, or our freedom. Like, what does that actually look like in reality? Not in this, like, oh, I just want to be financially independent. What the heck does that mean? Okay, like you can be financially independent and then, like, God forbid something happens in your life or in your loved one's life and suddenly you're in debt up to your neck. Okay, so like, I actually want to know what does that mean? And then once they put broad strokes, is fill it in with some sketches of what is the actual number. And it's okay to have a number that changes. In my book, it's not okay not to have a number because that's in a business world that's littered with numbers. That one number allures people. Like you've been in a number of business planning clinics, right? That various companies do or any type of business plan. And look, most people set these like annual goals. And, you know, usually we had those, you know, sessions in like November, December of, you know, in the year to plan for a year. And then like, look, what's predictable is that 90% of people in your classroom, by the time January, February rolls around, they don't even remember where they put the pieces of paper that they crunch the numbers on.
You're so right.
My assertion is that those numbers mean jack. It's kind of like, okay, I'm in November. Okay, this year I made 50,000. You know what, Wyatt? Next year I'm doubling it. But it's not tied to anything. Mm-hmm. It's just tied to your previous failure or previous success. It's not tied to what you want out of life. And when you have, you know, this freedom goal or good life goal or definition, now you can do two things. One is you back into the number that you need this year. But even more importantly, you filter opportunities.
That's good.
Through that number. See, like you mentioned the book Cashflow Quadrant. Man, just like you, that book changed my life. It's so simple. I am an I quadrant junkie. The game that I'm playing in life is I quad millionaires. Like I've given my word to creating 1,000 I quadrant millionaires. How I'm going to do that is I'm going to create 100 myself, and those 100 are going to give their work to creating at least 10 each.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's three simple rules to play that game with me. Okay. One is you have to do what I just said, is give your word to creating 10 iQuad millionaires. Number two is you have to give away 10% of your iQuad income to causes that are totally up to you. And three, you have to be a kind person.
Mm.
That's it. So my filters in life, what I take on, Wyatt, have an I quadrant filter.
So good. So good.
And by the way, I teach my kids the same thing.
Yes, sir.
I pay my kids interest each and every month. My oldest is about to be 12. My middle is 9. My youngest is 5. They get a monthly report with how much money their money earned.
I want
my kids to understand that freedom lives in that I quadrant.
Yes,
and the way
sir.
To get there is for some people through S quadrant. For some people, it's through a business quadrant. Like you implied, that's the fastest way is through a business owner quadrant because that's where most of the money is made. It's not the only way, but the serious way to get there. That's one of the ways I got here. It's my filter in life. And so when opportunities arise, for me, it becomes really simple. So I get offered jobs today, and because my filter is an I quadrant filter, I tailor those conversations into how can I put in my time, energy, and resources into helping you grow, but not be tied to the clock.
Yeah.
So I hope that's helpful.
So good, man. So good. I love it. I'm practicing that same philosophy with my kids. Baylor's 13, and I had him read Rich Dad, Poor Dad when he was in fifth grade. And that really changed his mind. He just got it. You know, I know fifth grade doesn't have to be the grade that you teach every kid, but Baylor was ready to read that kind of book. And soon after he read Cash Flow Quadrant, and he decided that he wanted to be a landlord and own an investment property at some point before he turned 14. So his goal was to be a 13-year-old property owner. So he turned 13 in January, and he's sitting on about $20,000 that he has earned in one way or the other through investing it and or working a job to receive it and then saving it from any of birthday gifts, Christmas gifts for years, right? But he's 13 and he's got about $20,000 that we're going to use as a down payment for a little rental. And we're working on that property right now so that he can fulfill his goals. So, and I actually posted on Facebook this week because when COVID hit last year, this month, schools were closed and we were remodeling one of those rentals. And so his job, instead of going to school, was to go work with my dad to learn how to remodel a flip or a rental. And so the memory came up on our Facebook this week that this time last year, he was hanging vinyl siding on an apartment, learning how to do that. So I just admire anybody that's teaching their kids, because man, if we can get them in the right mindset early in life, then you talk about changing generations, we'll have a massive impact. Which, let me ask you about that relative to y'all's travel schedule. You're homeschooling, surely, your kids?
No, actually, my two oldest had the option of going remote from their school, and that's what we chose.
Okay.
So when we get back to Baltimore in a few short weeks, God willing, they're going to go back into their school and see their friends. They're ready, Wyatt. They would go today, if we give them that choice. So yeah, they're going to go to school in person, God willing.
I love that. Go back to the short sale processing center. You know, we look at the market today. There's all kinds of opinions in terms of how much longer this economy can sustain itself. People in my market are paying $30,000, $40,000 more than asking price, over appraised value. Prices are going up like crazy. Inventory short. Are you gearing up to have a short sale processing department again? Did you ever get rid of the one that you had? Where's your head at with all that?
The answer is yes, I'm gearing up. Now, I'm gearing up a little bit different because within the last 6 months, I partnered with somebody who is a lot more talented than I ever was in operations. And I essentially gave my company or sold my company to an operator, an amazing human with a heart to serve, Teal Pleiss. And so she's running it and I'm helping her gear it up. Because remember, my filter is an I quadrant filter.
Got it.
How can I invest my time, energy, resources, and then separate my time from the rewards that come months or years later? So I'm helping her gear up for that through the operations. We're already seeing uptick in those through the work that we've done. The second way that I'm gearing up is by investing in companies that will benefit whenever the next turn of events happen. So I'm not a financial advisor or stock advisor or anything like that. But one of the companies that I'm looking very closely at is Altisource, which is the largest company in the land that handles foreclosures. Mm-hmm. And by the way, one of the really cool ways to learn about that side of the market, what's coming, is by listening to this particular company's and others. The CEOs talk about what they're seeing in a pre-foreclosure market. Like, for example, right now, because of the forbearance still going on, and we'll see what the current administration does about it, a lot of distress numbers are hidden. So we may think everything is going great, but there's about 6% of homeowners in the United States who are not paying their mortgage, who are in forbearance. Mm-hmm. And then there's another 6% who are already behind, who are not in forbearance. Mm-hmm. They're just in default. That's mm-hmm. 12%. Mm. Now, the market is at the same time at all-time high. Like, you know, we're both in the industry. It's kind of like, how can this be happening? Well, one of the ways it can be happening is those 12%, they're not flooding the market.
Right.
There's foreclosure moratoriums. The banks are getting money from the U.S. government not to foreclose, okay, or to keep people in forbearance. And then the money started to be really cheap. The economist in me jokes that, you know, if they were giving out 100-year mortgages, I'd sign up for a few.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's 2-3%, right?
Yeah.
It's free money with interest deduction currently. So, you know, my impression of the real estate market is I was taught by really wise businessmen and women back in the day that you don't pay attention to the market you're in right now. You look at what's ahead. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can find anybody who will say 3 years from now, it's going to get even better. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, the market is a bubble. It's an inflated balloon that's looking for a pen to pop it.
Yep, that's true. I think, you know, the $1 million question is how long, how far away, you know, and nobody really knows. I think, you know, one of the things that's interesting in my observation is, will the government continue to rescue these folks that are behind on their house note and make them whole? Who knows? You know, that's to be determined.
It's definitely to be determined. I could tell you this, is that the U.S. government, not to get deep into like economics, but the U.S. government can actually afford, or the U.S. United States can actually afford to keep this going. Compared to like as worse as it can be, we can actually afford to keep printing money and to keep bailing out people, probably not for a decade.
Right.
And I'm just glad, Wyatt, I'm not the one making these decisions. What I do is I just look at what decisions are being made. And as an investor, as someone who's guiding people, and as a leader, I look at myself as someone who kind of has to be slightly ahead of everything that's going on, so I can formulate opinions and help the people that I surround myself with on making their decisions with very limited information that's available.
Yeah, I like that. Random question. Have you talked to Chris Goodman recently? Have you touched
Not
base
recently.
With him?
He's the guy that put us in touch, right?
Yeah, for
like
sure.
Yep. Years ago.
Yep.
I just follow him on Facebook, man. Like, I see he's doing amazing with his coaching business. You know, every time I see a picture from him, I you know, a smile just goes on my face. You know, he's got a...
Yep.
I got to know him slightly in our, you know, in our previous company together. And, you know, with the last name like Goodman, Like, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Like,
no doubt. No doubt.
He is a good man.
And every picture that we see of him, it's in some sort of setting that is postcard worthy.
Right? I'm like, I wish I was there.
Yeah. If, like, if we could just grow up and be Chris, I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah. We keep in touch every now and then. So I just thought I would ask.
I make sure to send him a message.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. Yeah. We'll have to tag him on this episode. I want to go back and just maybe sit here for a second before we wrap up. You didn't really say it yet. It's one of the things that I think is really important. So I want to learn from you how you coach people to find it. And that is clarity around their future self, clarity around where they want to go. I've taught many, many classes around creating your future self, creating this vision of what your good life or your freedom life looks like. And for a lot of people, Vlad, they struggle with that. And one of the coaches that I really admire a lot is Ben Hardy, because he teaches about emotional flexibility and how so many of us stay stuck in our past and we define ourselves based on our history and we don't go out into the future enough and recognize and accept that who we will be in 3, 5, 10 years from now is somebody that's very different than who we are today. And if we would just go out into the future and create the vision of our freedom life, our good life, our future self, and then reverse engineer those activities to create the filter, if we would just do that, we would start to grow into that future self. So how do you coach people that say, I don't know what that number is. I don't know what that lifestyle looks like. I can't imagine traveling for 6 months. What's that process? How would you help me help other people figure that out for them?
Well, that's such a great question, because I think that a lot of people go through life either unclear or stuck. So the first thing that I do in these types of conversations is I take the pressure off. Just like, look, we're just talking here, man. Mm-hmm. This is not going to go into the Wall Street Journal. You don't have to put it on Facebook. You don't even have to share it with, you know, everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is, you know, there's no pressure. Let's mm-hmm. just talk about it. Then I warn them that clarity is a process, not an event.
That's good.
See, we go through life thinking that, like, if I'm not clear right now on everything, that means that I am stupid, not worthy, will never get it, like whatever that stuff is, right? No, clarity is a process.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, so if it's a process, it's kind of like you can't, you know, I'm in South Carolina, you're in Louisiana. It's like, you know, getting to Los Angeles would be a process for both of us. We wouldn't snap our fingers, at least technology is not to the point yet where we can be like, okay, 1 second later, we're in LA. Mm-hmm. No, we get in the car, we start driving, and then you think that you're going to go through Oklahoma, but then it has snow and you decide to go through Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you know that at least you're going to LA.
Mm-hmm.
So once I take the pressure off and explain that it's going to be a process and it may not happen in this conversation, I mean, not even happen in the next conversation. You may end up with clarity, your definition of clarity, or what I call fuzzy clarity. Because, mm-hmm. like, look, there's no such thing as 100%, right? Yeah.
Or fixed. It's always fluid.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, I watched The Martian yesterday, the awesome movie with Matt Damon, you know, one of those movies about Mars without aliens, based on a really awesome book in any case. And, you know, one of the things was a reminder is that, you know, as NASA is launching missiles into space, which is like the most precise thing that you can do, there is still margin for error.
Mm.
1 millimeter this way, 1 meter that way, 1 second to the right, 1 second to the left. So I started calling it like fuzzy clarity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again, it's removing the pressure from saying 13 and a half months from now, Wyatt, I will have $132,000.55 in my bank account. And if not, I'm going to jump off the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
No, like stop. Like, and I make these types of jokes just to drive home the point.
Sure.
So then once we kind of get on this path, it just becomes a conversation. Well, what do you want? And then it's, why do you want it?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important to you? And then magically, I'm doing air quotes, magically, over a month worth of thinking, talking, and conversation, somebody actually's fuzzy clarity becomes a little bit less fuzzy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they start getting excited and sharing with others about what they want out of life, mm-hmm. and the games that they're playing in life.
So good.
It becomes a more of a natural conversation that's an extension of who the person is, rather than something that's forced down their throat by a movie or a class or a book that they read, right?
Or programming from our past.
Right. So look, I think that there's two types of people when it comes to this type of conversations. There's people who are so stuck in the past that they cannot look out on their lives.
Sure.
Okay. And then there is the other, you could say it's the different side of the same coin. What? It's the other group of people. They are constantly in the future, but it's so fuzzy that they cannot bring it back to today's reality and today's action. So it's daydreamers versus those who are just constantly living in the past. Mm-hmm. And are not even thinking about it. But what they don't realize is that today's actions are going to be guided by what we believe is happening in our future. So if we're afraid of the future, of course we're going to be afraid today.
That's right.
Look, for me, one of the tools that work magic for me in like just getting to that level of like peace and clarity, if you will, is, or the fuzzy clarity, was participating in the Landmark Forum, which is a program through Landmark Worldwide, 3-day program that I did in June of 2012. And it gave me the space to actually create what I wanted out of life. Mm-hmm. Not like put nails in the board, like with that type of concreteness, but it's more of like, okay, now I can start creating and talking. Another thing that I've learned on my journey is there's kind of like levels of manifestation. And you start with thinking about it. Then you talk about it. And then you embody it. But you see, you have to actually think. But if you're just thinking, those are the great ideas that die in our heads. And if you talk about it, now you're one step closer to manifesting it, to embodying it. And so I often take like these ideas that I have and I start talking about them with people just to see whether they'll get traction. Because I personally don't have anything about like, okay, it's not going to materialize. It's not as bad, quote unquote, if you have this ability to make a profound difference with other human beings and you do nothing with it. See, I'd rather, to your point that, how we started this conversation, I'd rather talk about it and fail than not talk about it and not fail.
Agree. We've got a little document, a little tool on our website, and it literally says, find clarity, like think about it, get it straight in your head, and then start telling other people about it. Start talking about it, because that will attract the people. It's sort of like your filter, your I quadrant filter. It will attract the conversations and the referrals and the people that will help bring it to fruition.
That's so good. It's so good.
So what you said, I just want to be really clear for our listeners and the people in our world, what you said. And look, I'm in the midst of this real life struggle myself with this topic I'm about to say. But what you said and didn't say is that you have to create, this sounds real cold, but you have to create appointments to think. Like, you're having conversations with people. That means if I'm looking for clarity, I need to be having a conversation or at least an appointment with myself to create that space to just think. And to be clear, it's not going, if I don't put the time into the conversation or the thinking, then I'm probably never going to be clear about what my good life looks like. So whether it's hiring a coach, finding a mentor, a mastermind group, a set of colleagues that focus on this kind of content, you got to put in the work and the thought process to really find that clarity.
125%, man. I don't think it sounds cold. I think that I think that, you know, especially in today's world, that's not short on distractions.
Yep.
from your cell phone to YouTube to children to the news, is making an appointment with yourself becomes almost like impossible to do for most people. I do it all the time, man. I used to think that I have to constantly feed my mind with outside sources. And what I realized is you have to have input from others. Okay. And like people who are listening to this podcast, like that's their intake, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But you also have to leave time for processing. And so I will often go on walks by myself with no iPhone, with no earbuds. And it's only because I am processing information.
Yep.
I'm thinking to myself. And then what I'll often do, like this Friday, I rushed home and like I had this thought about opinions. And so I put it out on Facebook. Like it was just random thing that I just like, I don't know, look, like maybe got 5 likes. It doesn't matter. But it's like, I now want to put it out. Often what I do is I'll call a mentor of mine and I say like, Neil, hey, like this is what I'm thinking. Can you help me out? Or I'll call Tina, an associate of mine, and be like, hey, this is what's going on. Like I'm in the process right now, like to drive home your point, process right now of authoring a book. And one of the ways that I'm refining my ideas, and it's about specifically designed for mega agents on how to look at their team structures. I'm calling it the 5 definitions of a team. And one of the ways that I'm refining the idea is by talking through it with others. Mm-hmm. And it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. Now, if I did not think, Wyatt, that clarity is a process, if I thought that clarity was an event, and I would be like, oh, okay, this must be it. And I did not have any adjustment period. I would never brought that idea into anybody's conversation as soon as they said, like, what about this?
That's right.
I'd be like, oh, hold on. That means that I'm not clear. Mm-hmm. No, I took an idea out to people. And now I'm taking inputs. I'm refining it myself. And 2 weeks later, it's a totally different conversation that's like 5x better.
You know, everything you just said, what you're saying is happening for this book is exactly what our Inner Circle Mastermind community is about, which is what any mastermind is usually about. You share your idea with others so that they can ask you questions and poke holes to help you find clarity. And then they will brainstorm with you to help you be creative to find solutions to whatever holes that were or issues were brought to the table. And then the third is connection. They can connect you with the answers or with the resources or with the ideas or with the people. So clarity, creativity, and connectivity, sort of the 3 C's with a mastermind. And that's where I thrive. That's where I love to create the conversations that bring about that clarity, creativity, and the connectivity. Just to close the loop on the routine or the ritual around having that time to really think and get clear. Had a great coaching call or coaching meeting yesterday with the OP of our office, Chuck. You know Chuck.
Of course. Great guy.
And one of the things that is happening is that I've achieved certain levels of success with our sales volume, our team structure, our staffing. And the way that I'm wired is like, I'm ready to go to my next. And so I'm in this little threshold, you know, because the project is not finished. It's just the stress and the pressure of getting it on top of the water has been kind of relieved because we're on top of the water. We've got momentum. And so now we're looking at different angles to maximize and refine, right? And that is where the hesitation personally for me is coming from. And it has now brought about the need for me to retreat and go get clarity again on this next season, right? Even if it's the next 3 months, the next 90 days, the next 180 days, it's time for me to retreat, visit my goals, visit the previous version of my freedom life and my good life, revisit them and check in. And sometimes with the noise, with the distractions, with the people and the expectations that I think other people have on me, I show up to fulfill their expectations and neglect my own inner desires, with what I'm trying to create in terms of my future self. So I can personally relate, which is why I have these conversations, so that I can get poked in the eyeballs and say, I'm going on a dang retreat and I'm going to go get clear again so that I can show up and be the best version of myself to my people and my family. This is good, man. I appreciate this.
My pleasure.
Is there anything I haven't asked or haven't talked about that we should, that people want to know, that I should know, that would be helpful to us? This has been awesome. I appreciate the time so far, for sure.
Wyatt, look, man, this has been an amazing conversation. I already lost track of time. It's like, that's how I know it was amazing. I think that you asked some really, really great questions. So I don't see anything that you've missed. And I know that we can go for another hour easily,
no doubt.
You know, if people allow us to. Because there's just so much, to discuss. And I think that, you know, there is people succumb to the pressure that the external world creates.
Yes.
And the surest way to succumb to the pressure / distractions is not have your own clarity, is not know what your life is about, what game you're playing in life, what your freedom number, what your good life number looks like. And see, you then become, when that happens, you're kind of like that ball in a what is a machine that goes like this, and the pinball.
Oh my pinball, God, sorry. Pinball.
Pinball, I am Russian. the pinball machine, you become the ball in the pinball machine. Kind of bouncing all
just
over the
place. Just get knocked around.
Yeah. And it's like, see, I don't want to be the pinball. I want to be the machine.
Me too. Me too.
And but it starts with like what you mentioned is taking a step back and evaluating where you are, where you want to go. Okay. Do you have the right people around you? Like if you were a rocket being launched into space, it wouldn't be on a whim. It wouldn't be like, let's just duct tape a bunch of stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, let's paint it white. No, let's paint it black. Oh, let's put this semiconductor here. Oh, no, let's change the... No, it would be a well thought out process, okay? See, we don't relate to our lives as rockets being launched into space. And if we did, it would force us to have these types of breaks to evaluate what's going to make the biggest difference. See, this is what I'll leave you with. I think that most people are intoxicated with this thought of, I'm here to make a difference. See, I think that's crap. You're not here to make a difference. You're here to maximize the difference that God put you on this planet to make.
Mm.
Maximize it, not just make it. Because look, you're financially well enough to be able to stand on the corner of a street in your city and give away dollar bills for an hour. And that will, by the way, that makes a difference. There'll be people for whom that dollar bill or $5 bill is really important. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. But see, that would not be Wyatt maximizing the difference that you are put on this planet to make.
So good. So good.
And if you take that approach, if you say like, look, I'm 40 years old, I'm not just going to make a difference, because you make a difference anywhere you go, Wyatt. Like I've had enough conversations with you. I've listened to enough podcasts here since Jeff handed over the podcast to you, right? Like you're making a difference anywhere you go. In your church, you're making a difference in your family, when your family dinners, like you name it. But my invitation for you and anybody listening is stop making a difference. Start maximizing the difference that you are put on this planet to do. And that will be a totally different conversation for most of us.
I feel like that is a mic drop statement, and we cannot top that today. That was beautiful, man. I typed it in my notes, and I'm going to write it in my journal. So I really, really appreciate you sharing that with me at the end here.
Wyatt, thanks for the opportunity to make a contribution to you and to your listeners. And please know that this was a blessing for me to be able, it's everything that we discussed, is be able to talk through some of these ideas and to share them with you and your listeners. It's a really unique opportunity, and I thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Vlad, if people want to get in touch with you to dig deeper or to develop a relationship with you, where can they reach you?
They can reach me Well, a couple of ways. One is I accept carrier pigeons. So that's always a plus. I like ingenuity there. And, you know, Facebook is a great place. My last name is spelled with an S on the end. Or you can visit vladkatz.com. If somebody's listening and you have any feedback for me on any of these thoughts, ideas, or comments, if you agree, and if you disagree, shoot me a message. I would love to hear about it and have a conversation.
I love that. So yeah, if you want to leave some feedback on this episode or send Vlad an email, we both welcome them. It helps us both get better. So that the feedback is definitely welcome.
Amen.
Man, thank you so much. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Happy Easter to you and your family. And we will talk soon.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Vlad. Hey, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Mentee Podcast. If you would like to take what you learned in this episode to a deeper level, head on over to thementee.com/bonus to access a free 30-minute training today. And hey, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave me a 5-star rating with a comment. I read each one and I use it to deliver content that matters most to you. When you do this, you're actually entered into a monthly drawing to win a collection of my favorite personal development books. And don't forget to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can learn more about The Mentee and our community by visiting us at thementee.com. I'm Wyatt Graves, and I'll see you next week.